This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your hosts, Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
Hello, everybody. This is Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe, and Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who never walked a sideline, here as co-host. Aren't I co-host?
You are.
The Culture Club HTX.
I think you started with that. No? Okay.
I'm recording this today like a real radio show. We're all online, and I'm here with my beautiful black bossy bestie. That works really well. It's not too long. And since so many people objected to us losing that.
So many people code the three in our text thread. The three humans in
all
our text thread.
I need.
Thread.
Let me just say, that's all I need. Those, I love you, most annoying ones in our life.
So, sure. Coach Nelson, we're in sports. And you know, who's not here? Baseball boyfriend Scott. Surprise, surprise, because he's always on holiday. So, but he did send in his report. And, you know, it's not that it's sad, but we're going to read it. So, Coach Nelson.
Yeah, but it's so sincere. And honestly, I really miss him being here because this is the report we should hear in his voice, I think.
So you're going to say, hi. My name is Scott, and I'm from Wombat.
I can't. That's not where he's from.
Westlake or Lakewood, Lakeside. Anyway, read the report.
Your guess. Okay, here we go. Baseball boyfriend Scott's report. The Astros season has come to a close. They finished the year 12 games above 500 with a record of 87 wins and 75 losses. For the first time since 2016, they did not qualify for the postseason, losing the tiebreaker for the last playoff spot to the Detroit Tigers. This was a disappointing result for Astros fans who have grown accustomed to their team playing deep into October. It was particularly disappointing since on July 6th, the Astros were 20 games over 500 and had just finished sweeping the hated Dodgers in L.A. Even at the start of September, they were still in first place, and FanGraphs was giving them a 90-plus percent chance of making the playoffs. But injuries and a long stretch of mediocre play doomed them. As baseball fans, we know there is always next year. But before looking to the future, maybe another look at this past year is called for. The team was disappointing, but does it really deserve our scorn? Probably not. He's such a good guy. The Astros won 87 games. Two other teams that won 87 games made the playoffs. The Astros won exactly one less game than they did last year. Mm-hmm. They had winning records against all the teams that made the National League playoffs, as well as against the Blue Jays, the team that had the best record in the American League. They won the Silver Boot by winning the season series against the Rangers for the ninth straight year. In my mind, all this qualifies as a miracle, given the number of players that were on the injured list during the season. Heck, losing Yordan Alvarez for 100 games and still winning only one game less than a year ago is amazing enough without even considering the loss of Hader, Pena, Myers, Paredes, Arrigetti, etc. And at some point, the game just catches up to you. The Astros had been to the playoffs for 8 consecutive years before being eliminated this year. To put that in perspective, that's the 4th longest streak in Major League history. Mm. The only other team to do better this century is the Dodgers at 13 straight. This year, the years since 2014 have been rightfully called the golden years of Astros baseball. Astros fans are justifiably disappointed, but do the results of 2025 signal that the golden years are over? I doubt it. Thank you to our eternal optimist.
He really is. You know, he really is optimistic, and we appreciate that. And I am going to go back to my optimism. I shared a lot of optimism, as y'all may recall, at the beginning of the season. And you know, we just never got it in gear. I mean, that's just the honest truth. Like, we just never really got it in gear. Magical, I see you have on your Astros shirt, you know, as a sort of homage to the team. And
it represents them, yes.
Yeah, we just never got it together. But you know what? That's okay. You know, I think sometimes it happens like that. And you know what? This is probably good, because if we would have won again, we would have had a lot more haters. You know how people are. People don't like it when you win too much.
Well, the thing is, like, the one thing these guys did kind of hold on to, which we've discussed a lot, is their mojo.
I mean, they held on to their culture mojo, but not their baseball mojo.
Yeah, no, their baseball mojo sucked, but they acted like a great, they were a team.
They were a team. They were a team. And so, you know what? Shout out, Astros. We love you. And, you know, we will be here. We understand that there are lots of changes that must be made from a talent personnel standpoint in order to create the team that is going to go to the World Series. But like you said, I think holding on to the leadership, to the culture, I think that's super important. So good for you, Astros, that you know how to lose well. Like, you can't win well unless you know how to lose well. And, you know, I would say that they kind of lost well. It's okay.
They did. They were good losers and good sports, and watch out next year, everybody.
So let's go to a story that's kind of a juxtaposition of that, which is the Texans owners. Robert McNair Jr. and Cal are at odds. Lovely to you.
Well, they have been for years, because Robert wanted he wanted control of his mother and the team and everything. He wanted to be her power of attorney, basically. Mm-hmm. And he lost. And Cal kind of got it, and he got the team and all the things. So now Tony Busby, one of our famous or infamous attorneys here in Houston, is taking on the National Football League to try to reinstate Kerry McNair, or, you know, Robert McNair Jr., his father's namesake. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just,
you know,
because more important than this, you know, and the exposure of the family dynamic and the deep rifts in the Texans ownership and all the things, more important to me is the fact that they finally broke their winless streak this last week.
Yeah, you know, that is super important. But here is the thing.
That's way more important. And I think it's a reason for his brother to come back and try to get the team back, et cetera, et cetera. But still, as we were there and spreading COVID, whatever. Anyway, we were there, and it was indeed a really great game. It was really fun to see CJ finally A, play, and B, score three touchdowns, move the team down the field. It appears my beloved D'Amico decided to not coach the whole, he did not call the game. He left it to his coaches, and they did a really good job. And, you know, we'll see if that continues. But, you know, they weren't playing a tough team, but they're going to play a tough team, today, which is Sunday. They're going to play the Ravens. But meanwhile, the Ravens quarterback is sidelined. So I don't know what that'll mean as far as an advantage, I hope, for the Texans.
So you, like baseball boyfriend Scott, are always optimistic when it comes to the Texans, because I also was at that game, and I would not say they played a good game. I would say they won. And I think the only reason that they won is because Cam Ward wasn't he played well, but they weren't in sync, he and the receivers. I feel like if he, because he's a great quarterback, so I feel like if they would have been in sync, this wouldn't be a story, which means we eked by. So, like, let's extract the juice from, you know, this nice win, and I hope it did build morale. Magical's laughing. But seriously, because I'm like, we were there, lovely. They did some dumb stuff. You know that. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, it was a long first. It was a long first half. I mean, the game happened in the fourth quarter.
Well, right. And so I hope that is enough for them to say, okay, like you said, this confidence boost, morale boost, we can do it. And let's hope we turn the page, because they still, in my opinion, were playing a little tentatively. And you can't do that in the NFL, folks. You just can't.
Well, I think I honestly think if nothing else, it's got to help CJ's confidence.
I don't disagree with that. Okay, so I think the most important sports story that we have other than the Astros and losing well is, do you know who Bad Bunny is, lovely? Let's start.
I do.
No. Who is Bad Bunny? Who is it?
He's such a good guy. Well, he's a Latin musician from Puerto Rico.
Oh, look at you. Yep. Okay.
Selling out all over the place.
So why is he a good guy? What did he do good?
Well, he has done a lot of good stuff, and he just did 27 sold out shows in Puerto.
So remember when we were talking about what was it? Were shareholder value? It sounds like you're switching over to shareholder value. You're like, he's good because he's selling out shows.
No, I don't remember. I know he did something really well, and I know that the conservatives of the world are very against this.
Oh well, whatever. We don't care about that.
So isn't that something? They're blowing up the NFL right now about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So the story though is that Bad Bunny will be the headline for the Super Bowl. You know, really, I think with this, in my opinion, you remember the Taylor Swift effect and how when she and Travis started to date, all of a sudden you had all these women that, you know, may hadn't, you know, before paid a lot of attention to football start to pay attention.
Really had not.
I think right. The same thing is true for Bad Bunny. I think this opens up a different audience. And obviously the Latino market and NFL, I mean, that's a thing. But I don't think as much as soccer, for example. And so I feel like having talent like Bad Bunny, who is huge. I mean, he's like a global sensation would be the right way to say it for
like
sure.
One of the best selling artists.
One of the best sell. I think that people will watch just to see him. And then as a result, be introduced to the game.
And I mean, if I watch Kendrick Lamar, I'm watching Bad Bunny. Trust
yeah.
me.
But you're already a football fan. So that's what I'm saying. I think people who are not even
I've turned on off a lot of halftime shows.
Right, but there's some people who never even turned it on, period. So they will because he's there. Magical agrees. He's shaking his head. Magical.
Yeah, I'm all about Bad Bunny, so I'm down for it.
Good.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be good.
Let's have a Bad Bunny theme coming into this.
Look at her. Okay.
It will be for sure right about now.
Uh-huh.
That mean we're done?
You know what? You're sharp as a tack over there. That does mean that. So we're going to go to a break and we'll be back.
Bye.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holla Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi.
I'm Lisa Holla Nelson. You're not back?
We are back.
Do you want me to start over?
No, just keep going.
Okay. I'm Lisa Holla Nelson Bowman Lombardi, fashionista and bio babe co-host of Culture Club HTX. Here is my beautiful black bossy bestie, Shavonna Robert Schreiber, because you never said your name in the first segment.
Yes, I did. That's fine.
No, you didn't. You'll hear.
I will hear. Magical just laughed. Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX, and most importantly, the eighth wonder of the world, and one of my most favorite segments, business.
Yeah, we love business because it like everything else, involves leadership.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say we love business because it involves money. But
so, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, see, on brand. We thought you were going to say money, but that's fine. Leadership too. Leadership and money.
Our story, Starbucks closed hundreds of stores across the U.S., Canada, and Europe. Multiple Houston locations affected.
What do we think?
Starting September 25th last week. So, hey, seven are closing, including in Houston on Smith Street, Studemont, Montrose, Memorial Drive, Buffalo Speedway, and Westheimer Road. Man, those are all the ones that I go to.
Well, here's the thing. It's the Buffalo Speedway one, because it's in that parking lot, it is a little bit like scary in there. Like, it's kind of dark. So I'm not surprised.
The West Park? The one off West Park?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've been, I'm like,
this I don't go there so much.
Yeah, but I don't like the vibe. Memorial Drive, I don't know which one it is, because I'm like, is it the one at Memorial and Dietering, which is the one right by where I used to live?
That's the only one.
Is that the only one? And you know what's interesting? They're building that. I wonder if they're closing that because they're building the St. Regis Residence right next to it. But I would think that's not the time to close it. I think that's the time.
Maybe there's one further out on Memorial Drive.
That's what I wonder, if there's a different one, because that one is like, because that's the only one on the way to downtown once you get inside of 610. So that would be like not smart to close out.
And the Montrose one, I think it's been, I haven't seen anybody in that parking lot in ages.
I've gone to that one because it's near my ballet studio, but it's sketch over there, Sketch Town. So, and you know, I could see that. And also it's a tiny one. And so that would make sense. But the Memorial Drive, unless it's one further out, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, not at all.
So,
and I don't know if you're on Westheimer they're talking about, certainly.
So here's the thing, you know, what I find fascinating is that the reason that Starbucks says that they're closing is around optimizing productivity and managing expenses. So what's interesting, I mean, I got a Starbucks today, a cortada. It was $6. Cortada is the smallest one. That's an actual, it was $6. So what I'm trying to understand is, I mean, you charge $6 for, like, you know, a small, tiny coffee. Like, what's happening?
I don't know, because AI is not going to make these drinks.
No, no. But what's interesting is almost 1,000 employees nationwide are going to be impacted by this. So we'll see. And, you know, I wonder if there, you know, if I were a coffee maker, then I say, you know, Starbucks and this brand, is this a signal that the larger to-go coffee market is shifting, or is this just a signal that Starbucks is shifting? Because if it's just Starbucks, then I think if you're a smaller player, even if you go in and just get two of those locations, you could probably build a whole business around two of the locations that they're closing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they've already got traffic coming to it.
Already got traffic. And so it's like, remember when Houston's tried to change their name to Hillstone and like everyone pitched a fit? The Houston that's on Kirby. And now people were like, what? But people, they wanted to go to Houston, so they just made it back Houston's. Even though the sign still says Hillstone, everybody still calls it Houston's. It's kind of funny. But
the point is, the menu's the same.
And the menu's the exact same. Once you get used to going to a place, people get used to going to a place. So we'll see. So what's that, what else is happening in the business world?
Oh, my goodness. Houston's My Drink Bomb was named a winner in the HEB's 2025 Quest for Texas Best. This is so cool. In the 12th annual Quest for Texas Best, Houston-based startup My Drink Bomb tied for third place among five winning consumer packaged goods startups. Out of four area Houston finalists, My Drink Bomb was the only local business to place, securing $10,000 plus coveted shelf space in HEB stores, a key driver for growth in the capital-intensive food and beverage category. So the winners, the owners are, it's a Houston entrepreneur, Chloe DeLeo, and it's cocktails and mocktail flavor bombs designed to be dropped into sparkling water for quick beverage creations. That's kind of cool, you know?
It is. And, you know, I was going to say, my drink, it doesn't make me want to drink it. When you see My Drink Bomb, that name is very interesting. You know what I mean?
Like, it doesn't. You're the target.
Yeah, I'm not the target. It doesn't make me
target
want to.
Is a person of high intelligence.
You don't
I don't. I think the target is somebody who thinks they're just going to be cool and have a great time in the end.
Okay. Well, you know what? Yeah. Congratulations to these other winners and finalists. Okay, so Howard Hughes, they're driving this luxury growth in Houston and the Woodlands, so the greater Houston area. Like I mentioned, the St. Regis. Well, actually, they're building a Ritz-Carlton residence. I know that there's also
Isn't a St. Woodlands, though, or is that here?
It's in Woodlands and in Uptown. So they're building two, one in the Woodlands and one in Uptown. So Ritz-Carlton residences, one in the Woodlands and one in Uptown. And then also the St. Regis is building St. Regis residences off of Memorial and Dietering. So, I mean, you know, I thought we talked about this idea that the high rise, you know, market was saturated, but it doesn't appear that it is. It appears that they continue to build them. I mean,
well, just yeah, and depending on the buildings, I mean, the top three or four buildings in Houston, the condos are mostly sold through private sales,
mm-hmm.
which that generally a realtor may be involved, but somebody else in the building's family gets to buy the apartment.
Right.
So that level, like talking about from the Montebello to the Belfiore to the Thompson, that level I don't think is oversaturated. I think, you know, and I'm talking at the very top where Ritz-Carlton and St. Regis will be.
Well, but what's interesting is one of the Ritz-Carlton residences is going to be rentals. And so this is a 13-story tower, 268 residences from studio to three-bedroom apartments, rents starting at $2,000. So this one looks like it's going to be in the Woodlands.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting.
I don't know what I don't know the Woodlands well enough to speak intelligently other than to say, I doubt there's a lot of rental opportunities like that in the Woodlands.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually a good point. I think when I think of the Woodlands, I think, you know, single family homes, neighborhood, you know, more traditional suburban type neighborhoods. So with the growth and development that's happened there with, you know, lots of businesses moving to the Woodlands and the Woodlands Parkway area really being developed, I'm thinking that just rent, you know, like higher end rentals, they're probably not that many. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I do wonder.
Like Hanover, I wouldn't say Hanover or the Finger Companies have a lot of rentals in the Woodlands.
I don't think any. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, if you think about driving down 45 and when you exit like that main corridor, not really. There are some hotels and that's kind of it. So yeah, this will be interesting. So we shall see that, you know, what it does signal, I think, is that people are continuing to move to this region, which is good for us. Period. Bottom line, doesn't matter. I think it's good for us. Yeah. People are moving to the region.
It is good for us. I just want more traffic. I dream of it every day.
More road traffic?
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought that you would be talking about the business of road construction by now, and that you would have added that as a permanent part of this segment.
I'm trying not to.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a whole thing. But
I don't want to sound like some raggy-naggy.
Raggy-naggy.
Okay. You know, chronic complainer.
That's a new technical term, raggy naggy. You can tell me more about it.
Making it up as I'm looking at all the traffic outside.
We can talk about it on a break, and we can also talk about my drink bomb and look up the flavors because I'm kind of curious now. And
please,
where we would find this. Okay, so we're gonna go to a break and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Bye.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for one of Lisa and Shavana's favorite segments, the community segment. So let's get some community talk with Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe, all the things, co-host of Culture Club HTX, and very happy to be here today with my beautiful, blessed, whatever she is, because we said we'd stop doing that. But people are complaining that we said we'd stop doing
that. The masses are asses, so we'll keep moving forward.
You're staying black and bossy no matter what happens.
Exactly. They like show up and see me, people. Shavana Robert-Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX, and also, most importantly, the eighth wonder of the world.
Most important.
It's not about the two of us, although we are fab. It's about our special guest who is now a repeat guest and is going to be our community correspondent. Did you know that?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you.
You're the community correspondent. Lovely.
I love it.
Who do we have?
We're so excited. As the bio babe, I get to minimally reintroduce Mark Folks, the president and CEO of the Hobby Center, more importantly, our good friend and one of our very favorites. And Mark is here, like, returning. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the head of the Hobby Center, Houston's iconic downtown venue for theater and live performance, with more than two decades in nonprofit arts leadership, including roles with the Houston Symphony and Stages. Mark is a visionary. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's going to tell us some of the things he's done since stepping into this, because I don't even think we got to that the last time. But even more so, what's going on now?
Yes, because October is a super huge month. So first of all, thank you for being here, Mark.
Yay.
So excited.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm thrilled to be back, truly. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, so as I said, October is shaping up to be a huge month with everything from the theater, all kinds of other fun speakers and performances, like, for example, Vice President Harris. I know that's a different deal, but either way, tell us what's happening. What are all the fun things that are going on at the Hobby Center?
We have so many events happening. We have nearly 400 performances in a season. So our team is just maneuvering nonstop with a host of performing arts experiences, mm-hmm. entertainment events, speaking mm-hmm. events like the one this weekend that you referenced. And we're really excited. We just launched. Actually, you were with us for the opening of our third season of Live at the Founders Club in September.
Chef's kiss.
We had Grammy Award winner Miguel Zenon playing Latin jazz with his quartet, totally sold out engagement, and it was such a thrill for us to be able to open this third season of this new special experience, a supper club style jazz club, really elevating jazz and cabaret performance in Houston. So we have our next performances coming up just next weekend, and we are inviting Ana Maria Barcelo with a flamenco journey. So we're bringing dance direct from Spain, and the integration into Latin America for the first time will be happening in the Founders Club with a live dancer on stage and some guitar and drums.
So
it is going to be such a special experience, and you well know that that evening is all about being social. Mm-hmm. So it's a great environment to be able to experience flamenco, which has its roots really in kind of clubs and bars.
You mentioned cabaret style, and it's intimate, and I think it's great. We ended up running, Lisa, do you remember the folks that were sitting next to us, and we like start talking to, we ran into several friends, and the food was delicious. I mean, we need to talk about
it. Was
that, right?
The yes, we scarfed it all down, and we had a really so weird good. Combo.
Yeah, we had a strange combo, like some meatballs and something else, and Prosecco, you know, but it was delicious.
That is spectacular to hear.
We weren't expecting that.
Our team has really been working to think through what's the best possible experience for audiences. We've been getting a lot of feedback. So if you have any, please share it.
We need
any special requests.
French fries.
There we go. French fries. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. We do have French fries in Diana at the restaurant downstairs. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever had them, it is perhaps the largest order of French fries that you can get in Houston. And so I think.
Oh, my goodness. Perfect upstairs. For us.
Perfect. Exactly. Okay. So let's move beyond the food. So. Yeah. The ExxonMobil Discovery Series. Talk to us.
Yeah, this is so exciting. And we actually just opened our season last week with a Houston-based company, Open Dance Project.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
And we moved performances into Seraphim Hall. So the ExxonMobil Discovery Series is about inviting fifth graders across our city to, in most cases, their very first professional arts experience happening at the Hobby Center. We started this program 2 years ago with 10,000 students and teachers.
Wow.
The program is completely free, including bus transportation. We feature Houston-based artists predominantly and partner with Houston arts organizations to be able to bring this work to life on stage. And our goal is to reach every single fifth grader on an annual basis. That'll be 90,000 students once we achieve this in the next few years. So we started 3 years ago at 10,000 students. Uh-huh. Last year, we reached 20,000. And as of today, we have 38,000 students registered for this season.
Oh, and my
goodness. We opened this program last week with a retelling of The Wizard of Oz in Seraphim Hall. And to sit in Seraphim Hall with 2,600 fifth graders.
Good luck.
Wow.
One of the most special experiences.
That's a good way to say it. Very special.
It is special. It is special. And, you know, for somebody that sometimes might try to find the table that's not next to the young family, I could tell you, I just appreciate so much the opportunity to be in this space and have these kids just screaming at the top of their lungs and knowing that they are going to, in some cases, tell this story for the rest of their lives.
Question. Okay, lovely. I have an idea, and I know you'll be all about this. So are all the performances ones like Wizard of Oz where there's a book component? There's something tied to it that it's an actual book.
You know, not every program, but certainly some of them do. And that's a great connection for us to the Teak's educational content.
And the Barbara Bush Literacy program. And I'm wondering, Lovely, you know, we can cook up some deals here. I wonder if there is an opportunity for those performances that there's a book associated with. Can we get books for those kids?
I absolutely love it. Let's call Julie right now.
No, seriously.
Yeah, definitely. We text, call her all the time. And I think this is just, I was just thinking the same thing because everybody needs books, obviously.
Right.
And also, I have to interrupt, of course, just a little bit to say, you know, everybody knows about my granddaughters. I have three of them. Selma's in the, I think she's in the third grade. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, so two more years if she was in Houston for her to experience this. But all three of them are theater kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the three-year-old. But Selma is a drama queen. And the idea
surprise,
to see her experience this for the first time, which I don't think she has, it's just like extraordinary, Mark. So the one thing I want to ask is, can Siobhan and I come for one of these?
Absolutely, yes. I will send the dates and let's coordinate a time for you to come and have this experience.
We would just love it.
You know, that story, I mean, thinking about how it impacts you personally, mm-hmm. Lisa, like we recognize kind of the responsibility that we're holding through creating this program.
Absolutely.
It's unreal.
Creating a generation of students who every single one of them have been to the Hobby Center in Houston. And that is a remarkable thing and will make this one of the largest programs in the country for access to arts.
I feel like you need to get some kind of prize for this. I don't know what we need to nominate you for, maybe Nobel Peace. I don't know, but I feel like that's
a Nobel reading prize, a Nobel
seriously
theater
a president's a reading that's huge. And I mentioned before we started the segment that I have some theater roots. So here's the thing, check it out. So as a kid, probably some program like this, I went to the opera for the first time in elementary school, then the ballet, etc., etc. Fast forward to college where I take theater now. I'm more of a behind the scenes kind of person, as you all know. But right. I remember seeing Grand Hotel, like helping produce our version of Grand Hotel at the University of Oklahoma. And I love theater for all of the things, because creativity at its pinnacle, in my opinion, whether you're making a costume or you're orchestrating the stage or you're dancing or singing, whatever creative thing you have, theater has a place for you. So the fact that fifth graders are getting exposed to this and then they may go on to have careers in theater, where I just think that's fantastic, because I don't know where else they would have that experience.
I can tell you, every professional out there who is interviewing candidates for a job, mm-hmm. your first question should be, have you ever participated in theater?
Right.
Because those folks have the deepest understanding of how to work on a team.
Yes.
How to be creative, how to do more with little resources.
Amen.
It is truly incredible. I've seen so many peers who have their roots in theater that mm-hmm. have highly successful careers in completely other fields, but it is those lessons that you learn in building a production and working on that just serves students.
Public
so much
speaking, leadership, conflict
the
resolution.
That for me has been invaluable. I mean, everybody knows I was the one of two 4-year-olds to be the first 4-year-olds accepted into merry-go-round theater, which was the Alley Theater's children's program. And back then you had to be 6. But my girlfriend and I were such drama queens. Our mothers got us in at 4. I mean,
overachieving from the beginning. I love it.
This is why when she talks about Selma,
I mean, it's not really that much of a surprise.
Right,
except,
no one's surprised.
But so for my granddaughters to continue with that love, I can't even, you know. I started musicals. I didn't know I couldn't sing. No one ever told me.
Seriously. Bust the note now. Go, Lovely. No, don't do it. I know you can't sing. Don't do it.
But back in the day, they must have covered us up. That's all I can think of, you know, because
you can harmonize. Something. You know, you work together. You harmonize. So you may not be able to sing, but you together in a group. That is actually true. Hell, I was in choir. You know, I can't sing, but you can harmonize. I mean, I think that's a thing. Okay. So we have been to the Hobby Center, and so we know how wonderful it is. But for those who haven't, what else that we haven't talked about? So we've talked about the ExxonMobil Discovery Series. We talked about that program. I mean, it's just fantastic. We talked about the food being fantastic. What else would you say is a thing that people should know, and then a call to action for folks to come out and experience it for themselves, whether they're in the fifth grade or not?
You know, I would offer that we have such a breadth and diversity of experiences mm-hmm. that everyone in Houston can find something they love at the Hobby Center.
Yeah.
So on Saturday, October 11th, we have another program called Choir, Choir, Choir.
I'm there.
This is a Queen sing-along.
Like Queen the band?
Absolutely,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, I need to be there.
So this group started, it's a show that was built in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, and it was a group of friends who were trying to organize a party for their friends, I believe, and they thought, you know, let's do a sing-along night. And so they hosted this sing-along.
Fantastic.
It turned it into such a hit amongst their friends that they decided to host these in the city, and it grew in popularity. Now they are touring internationally with
what?
This show. It's incredible. And they call themselves Choir, Choir, Choir. The whole theater is turned into a choir, and they get you to sing along, in this case, to the songs of Queen. So it is going to be
Say
such
no
a fun
more.
Night. Saturday, October 11th. And if anyone's looking for information, thehobbycenter.org to find that out.
So if they go to the Hobby Center, there's a calendar there. So
there
they
is.
Just can look at the calendar, October the 11th, and then they can purchase tickets. What else? I feel like there are other things that, like, well, we talked about Broadway Across America.
The Broadway series is so important and core to the work of the Hobby Center. Our next production is perhaps the one that's received the most requests from our audiences.
Mm, and it's
A Beautiful Noise, the Neil Diamond musical.
Excited.
And so it really tells the life story of this guy that just became such an international sensation. Such a fun show, incredible choreography, and our audiences are going to be thrilled. We actually have just added, because demand was so high, a Thursday matinee performance.
Oh.
And so if somebody wants to skip out of work, come and join us 1 o'clock on Thursday, the first Thursday in November, I believe.
That actually sounds
have
good.
Have the opportunity. And, you know, one of the challenges with the Broadway series for audiences is that it's so popular that it sells out immediately.
Exactly.
Because we have just announced this, audiences are able to get really amazing tickets for this weekday matinee, which is pretty atypical for Houston.
I think that's fantastic. Okay, so how do people find out more about that Hobby Center? What's the website again?
Thehobbycenter.org.
So don't email you directly, but go to the website.
Anyone can always email me, and I'm sitting up 24/7 waiting to respond. I'll sell you a ticket. Trust me.
No matter what. A ticket. That's your AI agent, right? It's
right.
Answering your text messages. If anything comes in with ticketing, automatically you get a link.
That's a great concept. We should actually build that.
We're filled with good ideas over here at Culture Club HTX. Lovely, you always have a final question. So over to you.
Honestly, I'm just so impressed with all the information Mark has shared today that I really don't. I'm excited to be a part of almost everything he's doing. I do have one final question.
Okay.
So I have with my friend that you know very well tickets for Broadway Across America.
Uh-huh.
We bought the Saturday matinees, but I don't have an extra ticket for Shavana. Is there going to be one if we need one?
You can always reach out, and my AI bot will respond.
The AI agent.
So I didn't buy the extra ticket when they, you know, put out the thing, of course, because I wasn't thinking.
I like this. See, this is a bird dog. This is a bird dog activity. Let me ask you on air, live, can Shavana get a ticket?
And will Shavana be there?
You know that we are going
to
work our darndest to make sure that you are there.
What?
We so appreciate the opportunity to be able to share more of the story, and so we'll find a seat somehow, some way.
I will be on the stage directing. Stage right.
Uh-huh.
Grand Hotel Part 2.
Hello. All right. Well, we'll figure this out on the break. Mark, it has been such a delight. It gets better and better. Thank you so much. We cannot wait for you to come back and share more goodness that's happening at the Houston Hobby Center. And with that, we'll go for a break.
Bye.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavana Robert-Shriver.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, fashionista, bio babe, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful black bossy bestie.
You know what? We're gonna fix this because I'm just gonna start opening the show, and then that way you won't be able to say that.
That's not true. I can still say it.
Shavonna Roberts Schreiber.
Well, I always say that. I can interrupt you at any moment and say
you can.
I'm gonna say black bossy no matter what.
No matter what.
Shavonna, you can call me blonde bossy if you want.
You're not bossy. Exactly.
Baseball boyfriend Scott thinks I'm bossier than you.
Because you are bossy. I was being dramatic and sarcastic. Shavonna Roberts Schreiber, the executive producer, co-host of Culture Club HTX and the Eighth Wonder of the World, here in our fashion, fitness, wellness segment with a football fashion story.
Well, first I have to say something.
What?
Because I realize I have not said it.
Oh, what?
It's October, everybody. It's the pink month. Time to celebrate, fight, raise money to cure breast cancer.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. That's actually our second story. But yes, okay. You're right. It's October.
I just have to say, put your pink on. The second story, I'll talk about how much more important it is. But
so what's Patrick Mahomes up to partnering with Adidas to bring Gladiator brand to Texas high school? So
This is his brand. Has anybody seen the logo?
Yeah. Have you seen this magical, the Gladiator brand?
No, I haven't seen.
Oh, so it says his Gladiator logo, which I never heard of until this moment in time. So Patrick Mahomes Gladiator logo. So is this his brand?
Yeah, it's his brand. And he's bringing it to 15 high schools nationwide, including 3 in Texas.
Okay. So
his alma mater,
the
which is White House High School in Longview and South Lake Carroll.
Number A, the logo.
White House
is terrible.
High School, Longview, and South Lake Carroll. I don't know where White House High School is. Anyway, it honors Mahomes' East Texas roots and aims to invest in the development of young football talent.
Whitehall is next to Wombat and Lakeside in East Texas. But this logo, I don't like it. It's just his initials.
I haven't looked.
Anyway. That's not the point. It's not about, I'm not the audience. It doesn't matter if I like it. But I do think this is a good thing that he's going to partner with these schools. Although these are the most elite football programs. So, you know, there's that, but that's okay. And
he's bringing winners to the table.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important. I mean, he's, you know, Texas Tech, his alma mater, has already been wearing the Gladiator logo since last season. And he's supporting these people with, obviously, apparel and equipment and money.
Do you think that he gets
the idea that this guy's giving back? I mean, he's given Texas Tech a fortune already.
Well, I was going to say, in the name, image, likeness universe that we now live in, I'm sure he's getting some kind of royalty from these. But you know what? That's not the point. The point
is
that the athletic apparel featuring the Gladiator logo, which jerseys, hoodies, dry fit shirts, and zip ups are available at each of the partner school shop with prices ranging from an affordable $34.99 up to $119.99. And that's what he's up to. You know, good for him for diversifying his income stream and using his NFL stardom to do some good. At the same
and
time,
he brags all he says, all I brag about is Texas high school football and how much it means. So
magical is not impressed.
Everything you've got and never backing down is something I've carried with me through every stage of my career. Congrats, Mahomes.
Yeah. Everybody, I mean, you know, that's diversify your income, do some good, make money while doing good. That's fine. I'm with that. Okay. What's going up with the fashion?
Next is our pink story, sort of. Athleta and Kristen Yashitsky.
I think
so. Or do you know how to say her name?
Yashitsky? I think so.
It might be. Anyway, launch Bold Bra for Breast Cancer Awareness. For Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Athleta has partnered with designer Kristen Yashitsky to create a limited edition version of its best-selling train-free bra. This collaboration blends function, style, and advocacy by encouraging women to prioritize breast health with proceeds supporting Susan G. Komen.
13% of the proceeds. That's a big chunk.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. I'm interested to try it because I don't know why I can't find a sports bra I like. So this could be really good.
Oh, you know what? This will be good. And so she has a personal connection. She lost her mother. After a battle with breast cancer. And so I appreciate that she has she's not just a woman with breasts, right? Like she has a personal connection to breast cancer, and again, is using her notoriety and platform in order to raise awareness and do some good. I think that's a great thing. I really do. Good for you.
I do too, and congratulations.
So we'll try. We'll go and check out the sports bra and see what we think. Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're pink on the outside this month. I'm adding that. for you to buy the black and white bra, but I want you wearing pink.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay.
So roomier trousers reshape modern menswear with comfort and expression. Okay. So are we talking about MC Hammer pants or not quite that roomy?
I'm not sure what we're talking about. It says wider pants are making a strong comeback in menswear, replacing the decade-dominant skinny silhouette.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, there was a skinny trend, like a skinny jeans.
Well, the skinny trend was kind of silly on a lot of people.
Well, but I think the point was it was still like people were trying to make it work because it was the trend. And so this is good. This is a shift toward pants becoming the centerpiece of a man's outfit. Now, there was a time, and you can see this if you watch cinema. You see what I said? Magical cinema.
I respect it.
Yeah, cinema. from, you know, legacy cinema, that pants were, I mean, with the pleats and like just well-made, well-cut trousers are a thing, especially on guys. So, yeah, I think this is a good thing. So this is also something that I didn't know, that the sale of men's pants has increased 78%. So Magical, what's up with all you guys buying pants?
We tear them a lot on accident just because, you know, when we sit or when we do, you know, all the manly stuff that we do in terms of bending and moving around.
Moving furniture.
Yeah, moving furniture. Daily thing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, we mess up our pants a lot. So I assume... You know, this is not me being scientifically for sure on this, but I would imagine it's, you know,
N=1.
Yeah, exactly.
But also the sale of wider trousers are really leading the trend because skinny trousers are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't look good in them. So I think as soon as the option to buy wider trousers, which weren't out there enough, you know, that started increasing sales because comfort is always a key driver. No matter what, but especially now influenced by the pandemic era habits and a move away from restrictive fits. You know, wide leg pants can be flattering and versatile. I'm not talking about baggy things that hang off your
back. No, just not skinny. I think this is the thing. That's so funny. It's because it's been such a skinny trouser environment that like even just normal pants are probably considered wide leg.
Having been.
Oh, yeah. Think of Armani trousers that are just slouchy and good looking.
Having been the person that has shopped for pants in recent years, men's pants, I can confirm that they've gotten a lot skinnier to where the point it's like, I can't do any of these because I can't breathe or move.
Like leggings.
You know what I mean?
It's almost like they were like leggings with zippers.
It was like a little too tight, you know, and it just, I don't need it like super tight. I just need a little bit of room, you know what
you
I mean?
You want to fit it, but not tight.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I do feel like some of the skinnies start to get like legging looking. Like it looks like a legging.
Very much. And too short.
Yes.
I mean, they were too, and above ankles and they just kind of look silly. But basically, even the couture designers seriously have gone to a softer, wider leg. So, and supposedly pants have just become much more of the focal point of a man's outfit.
Which is funny to me because I'm like, well, what was it before? Like a sweater? I mean, of course it's pants.
Oh, maybe the shirt or the jacket or the shoes.
Or the shoes. I do feel like there was a big shoe thing that was happening. Oh, that makes sense. You got short pants where you can see the shoes more.
Yeah.
So now the shoes are more of a focal point. That makes sense. That actually does make sense.
I'm good with this.
Yeah, I'm good with this too. I like how we all have decided that we need to be good with this. Like, are we good with this? Yes.
I'm good with this.
No, I'm just saying I'm good at this, basically. The fashion piece.
Oh, okay. we stand corrected, lovely. Yeah, okay, you perfect. Are good at the fashion
Respect.
Piece. Respect. All right, cool. So we've come to the end of the road. We have done all the things. What a great show. First show in October. Very exciting. What do you want people to do? Wear pink on the outside? So don't just walk around in pink underwear and say, I have on pink. Don't do that.
I want you to wear something pink every day of the month of October. And if you feel compelled to donate, please go to the American Cancer Society's Men Wear Pink campaign and donate to somebody you like.
Yeah.
There's 65 of them up there.
Well, and I think there's so many other opportunities. So I know most grocery stores will have the Roundup. They do the Roundup campaigns and, you know, and they give those proceeds to, you know, a number of different organizations that are in support. We were speaking with CanCare last week. So there's so many organizations that no matter, you know, if you personally or someone you know, which that probably applies to all of us, somebody you know has had an experience with cancer. And so the research, which we know needs to be funded, is that's always an issue. And by donating, even if it's $5, I mean, it goes a long way. So, yes, please do that this month of October. And with that, what do we want? What else do we want people to do this month of October while they're wearing their pink and donating for good?
Well, we want them to come to our salon October 29th. I know that's not what you were asking.
No, but no, that's true. We are doing a holiday salon, which is really, the salon series has been really great. It really has. It's this curated conversation around whatever topic. And this one is going to be around the holidays. And how do you approach the holidays without being frazzled and stressed out? So they can be enjoyable. I mean, there was a time
where Biden losing all, missing all the fun because you're so nervous about making
right.
it perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember a time where the holidays were great and you look forward to connecting with friends, and then we've gotten out of that. So like, how do we capture that again? It's also holiday shopping cart time, so you can shop for gifts for some really good discounts at tons of retailers like David Peck, where we'll be hosting this salon. So October the 29th, if you're following us, which we hope you are, on all of the platforms, you can learn more there and RSVP. So do that, do that, do that. And with that, we want you to do what, lovely?
Stay focused.
Stay fit.
And stay fabulous.
Magical, I really thought you were going to say that. You've disappointed me.
I'm not.
Oh, stay fabulous. Stay fabulous.
No, well, I just thought, I was like looking at Magical. I'm like, he's going to do it. I feel it. I feel it. And he's like, okay.
No, he did.
It's fast.
I wasn't fast.
Can we all say it together?
Can we say it together?
We can say it together.
Okay, are you ready?
One, two, three. Stay fabulous.
Yay.
All right.
See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Love listening to Shavana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
So you got to either go out, look, Magical has like the largest bottle of hand sanitizer he just showed me. Like, you got to pick.
Does. I know. I see it on his desk all the time.
So either you're going to go out and not shake people's hands, or you're going to go out and shake people's hands and then know that, especially right now, there's a chance, high likelihood, that you're going to get some crud, whether it's, it may not be COVID, but something. Because people are, this is the season. This is what's happening.
Or invest in a bubble.
That's enough. You can make it chic.
So this should be the show today.
Yeah.
I could be the bubble girl, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be.
And so they could just move my bubble around, and then I wouldn't be isolated. It would be
exactly. Yeah. Just roll around in a bubble.
They put a Peloton in my bubble?
They probably could. That'd be a big-ass bubble.
Giant bubble.
It's a giant bubble, but you know what? Yeah.